Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God. As we explore the Word of God together, it is a time that God has allowed us to come together in the midst of everything that's going on in the world and spend time with Him and His Word. And we have showed up, and we are in position to hear what the Spirit has to say to us tonight. The Word of God is our strength, our encouragement. The Word of God is our hope. I thank God for the opportunity. The title of our lesson is Tomorrow's Not Promised. We know that. We hear that. But I want you to know that it's true. It's coming from the book of James, the 4th chapter, 13 through 11 verse. And as always, we play a song. And I'm going to play this song that's called Run Till I'm Finished. I believe the song is appropriate for the lesson tonight, because when we met Jesus, we began to run a race, and it won't be over until Jesus come or we die. But we have to run the race until we finish, and that's what the song is saying. So I'm going to play the song. We're going to come back, and Sister Pam is going to lead us to the throne of grace. Hallelujah, our intercessor. So I'm going to play the song. We're going to come back, and she's going to bring us to God's throne of grace, and then we'll expound on the Word of God together.
I have decided, determined, I'm committed that no matter the cost. And I have decided, determined, I'm committed that I'll run, even though at times I may get lost. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where or when or how, but I know that I'm going to make it. Oh, I'll run this race, nestled so safely in a I made up my mind, and I don't have much time, but I'll run till I finish. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to take my proper place in the winning circle. I'm going to run anyway. I don't know where, I don't know when or how, but I know I'm gonna make it. Oh, I'll run this race, nestled so safely in a maze. But I'm gonna run till I finish. have much time, but I'll run till I finish.
Amen. The songwriter is letting us know we don't have as much time as we may think we have. We know that we are living in perilous times, and we have to run the race that is set before us until it is finished. And at this time, we're going to call Sister Pam. She's going to lead us to God's throne of grace in prayer. She's going to intercede for others, us, and everyone around the world, places, people, places, and things. There's so much going on around in the world today. So let us go to God's throne of grace. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. This is the prayer list for March the 2nd, 2022, Wednesday night. Diane McBride and family, Anika Drew, Azariah Hurd, Minister Paula Cloud, Vanessa Humphrey, Beverly Ferguson, Florida Kasia, the Bridges family, Shantika Clark, Ayana, the Williams and Washington family, Bridget Jones and family, Jada Porter, Genario Achilles, Aiden, Mr. Dickey. To our sisters and brothers over in the Ukraine, to those that are behind prison walls, those that are homeless, those that are sick, still recovering from the coronavirus, and to our youths all over the world, we must pray for them as well. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Thanking you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you for allowing us another Wednesday night for Bible study. We thank you, Father God, for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. We pray, O Lord, that you continue your anointing over her, keeping her molded and shaped in your ways. Father, we come on this first Wednesday night in March to lift up the names of our brothers and sisters who come asking for prayer. Father God, we pray that whatever their desires may be, whatever they may be standing in need of, we pray that if it's in your will, not our will, that their needs be supplied. My sisters and brothers, we must learn to trust God for everything. We must trust him to fight our battles. We must trust him and know that he's always with us. We must trust that he will never leave us nor forsake us, because he said he would. Jesus dropped the charges for us a long time ago, and we owe him our life for the rest of our days. God is the source of our strength. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for keeping us. Lord, we thank you for keeping us all night long while we slept. Lord, I just ask you, just touch us, heal, deliver, and set free. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your obedience to God. You're really running your race, as the songstress said. And we have to continue. The song said that he was committed and he was submitting himself unto God. You see, God has given us things that he wants us to do. We all are part of the body of Christ. One body, but many members. And God knew we would live in this world, but we wouldn't be of this world. And God had a spiritual rim for believers to dwell therein. And God, the way he is and how awesome he is, he made sure that he had equipped the kingdom of God on earth here for his children, that it would be able to operate and not lacking anything. So God took the body of Christ, everyone that believed Jesus, and come in and be a part of the body of Christ, the partakers of the household of faith. Before the foundation of the world, God gave each and every one of us a purpose and for a season, for his reason, his will. And if everyone would operate in what God has given us, the world, well, not the world, but the spiritual realm that God has placed the believers, would operate smoothly. You know, the Bible and Jesus spoke many times and said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You see, everybody has something to do. God's not asking me or you to do what he maybe asked someone else to do. Many times I hear people say that what God got for me is for me, and they say it boastfully and proudly. But I wanted to part of that on there for you tonight. What God has for you is for you. That's absolutely true. That's the word of God. But what God has for you to do is also for you to do. You see, we have to get ourselves in tune and in touch with God and his word and know what God has for us. You see, every opportunity that we get to be of service unto God is an opportunity that is furnished unto us by God. It's not an accident. And if God is asking you to do this or do that, first of all, he knows he has equipped you to be able to do it. And second of all, he's going to provide the provisions to make it happen. And third of all, he's right there with you. We have to realize and understand that God gives us assignment here on earth. We begin to understand that this is our preparation place. When Jesus left to go sit at the right hand of the Father, he told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is preparing our eternal residence for all of us. And it's going to be a prepared place, but it's a prepared place for a prepared people. God is looking towards us. And he know what he has put in us. And God is looking for a return on everything that he has invested in us. One of God's greatest investments for us was his darling son, Jesus. God allowed him to die on the cross of Calvary so that all of us would be able to live. He became our sacrifice. God is looking for a return on his investment. And when we look at our lesson for tonight, and it states that tomorrow is not promised, I really could turn on a 10 o'clock news, the 5 o'clock news for you guys. And you could hear all of the trials and tribulation, adversities, deaths, murder, sickness, wars that's going on in the world. Hallelujah. There's something on every side. They talk about wars and rumors of wars. Well, we in a war. Well, we are not physically in it, but what's going on and happening with our brothers and sisters in Ukraine is also affecting us. The murders on the street. The young girl that was just at a place to get her something to eat the other day. And a stray bullet hit her. 15 years old. Came in from Houston, Texas. The caption in the newspaper the next day read, "Heaven is gone." Her name was Heaven. And she's gone. I'm sure Heaven thought that she was going to have many tomorrows, that she would get up day after day, and she was probably in high school, and she was probably looking forward to when she gets to graduate and go to college. But you see, our lesson tonight says tomorrow is not promised. And these types of things is happening every day. Many people we knew in the past 2 years contracted the coronavirus, and they died. I believe they thought they had many tomorrows. They probably couldn't imagine it was going to be like that. But the world we live in, we have no control. God is sovereign. Before the foundation of the world, when God decided to let us live, he also decided when we would have a physical death. You can't prolong it. You can't stop it. You can't block it. And after sin entered the world, I don't know if you guys picked up on that, but after sin entered the world and they received a spiritual debt, but a physical debt was attached. And the only way, because the sin, what sin had done, the only way for us to live eternally is that we would have to die. Come on, y'all. That's why Jesus said, just as I was resurrected, we will be resurrected from the dead as well. Thank God for the resurrection. And it's a beautiful thing. Because if we have given our lives to God and have accepted his son, Jesus, and Jesus has become our Lord, Savior, Master, and King, we will, as the songwriter said tonight, we will take our rightful place. But while we are still here, and until we die, we have to run the race till it's finished. I know there's many things going on, and many people are so overwhelmed, they don't know what to do. I'm sure they got people depressed because the suicide rate has risen because they feel like they can't take it anymore. And yet we see some people going on with life as if there's no problems in the world. whatever is going on, I just want to let you know tonight, no matter what state you're in tonight, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hopeless it seems, no matter how you can't figure out how you're going to make it through, I just want to tell you tonight that God is in total control. His timetable is not our timetable. If God has been able to hold the whole world in his hand even before Adam and Eve was in the garden, all of those 1,000 years in the Old Testament, 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and over 2,000 years after Jesus came. And he never failed. He didn't go to sleep. He didn't take no times out. He's still on his throne. He's sitting high and looking low. He know what's going on. He's still in the blessing business. His persona is love for his children, and we are his children. We have to do everything that we can do and stand. God is providing us rest in the midst of the storms. But the only way we could receive it unless we totally submit ourselves unto him and let him have his way and trust him because he knows best. It's a wicked, evil world we live in, y'all. And I come to tell you tonight, it's going to get worse before it get better. The Bible teaches us that it's never what we go through, it's who we go through it with. So I come to encourage you in the midst of everything that's going on. Just be encouraged. God is working it out for our good. He has us in the palm of his hand. And I encourage you tonight, just hold on to the confession of your faith. And God has promised that he'll make it all right. You just got to stay strong and be encouraged. And that's a little bit of our background for tonight. And the title of our lesson is Tomorrow is Not Promised, coming from the book of James, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 17th verse. And the reason I'm using that and the reason I did the intro with the information that I gave you, because we're going to learn something from James that's going to help us to go through. And with all of this that's going on in the world that was spoke of, we have to set our sights on things that are eternal. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are good. Think on things that are a good report. See, that's how we're going to make it through all of this. Using the tools that God gave us, prayer. Walking with your faith, your helmet of salvation. Take the belt and girdle yourself with the word of God, and you're going to make it. Because tomorrow is not promised. And we're going to go into the scriptures at this time. And James 4, chapter 3, 13 through 14. And the scripture say, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go in such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? This is the point I'm hitting home on with all that was said. James, the brother of Jesus Christ, who wrote the book of James and all in the Bible. James and Jesus would be considered half-brothers. They had the same mother, Mary, but they had a different father. You see, James' father was Joseph, and Jesus' father. But James wrote this book that I'm talking out of tonight. So James said, it is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, people living to be 100 and a little over 100, and we think that is so much time. We think that's so long. But if we look in the Bible, I think Methuselah lived 960-something years. So could you imagine that? I don't even believe we could take the pressure. Our DNA can't sustain it now. Our body can't contain it now. That's why God in his wisdom shortened the time to 120. There's even somewhere in the Bible that talks about 70, but more by might. You see, God is in control, and he know what he's doing. Not sometime, all the time. You see, this scripture tells us we make these plans, oh, we going in the city and do this. We taking a trip and doing that. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it has been proven we don't even know if we have tomorrow. And James say, this life is not as long as you. And as the songwriter said before this, that I'm going to race. He said, I don't know how much time I have. He said, but I don't believe I have much time, so I'm going to run the race. And that's the attitude we all should do. Be the best we could be with today. Because tomorrow is not promised, and yesterday is gone. You see, it's good to have goals, but goals can and sometimes will disappoint us if we leave the word of God out of our planning. There is no point in making plans as though God doesn't exist, because the future is in his hands. And I want to tell you, to live with no motivation or planning, it's not God's desire for our lives either. But making plans that are out of the will of God will not produce the end result that you may be looking for. God has a plan for all of our lives and designed it before the foundation of the world. Y'all know Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, when God created us, placed us in our mother's womb, put his hand there and formed our innermost part, decided how many hairs we would have on our head, he also put a plan and a purpose inside of us. Hallelujah. So tonight I just ask you to line your goals up with the will of God, which is his word, and you'll never fail. God created our existence, and we must make our plan loosely and allow God's will to be done. We should always say, if it's God's will, we'll do this or that. If we look around this world, someone is here today and gone tomorrow. That's what they used to say. But now it's being said, someone is here today and they're gone today. Plans are made and many times change. Hallelujah. If you take a look at our lives and where we are today, and plenty of times we might say, it was not our intentions to be where we are today. I hear that from a lot of people, or how I thought it would be. You know, in some cases it's much better. In other cases it's worse. But you see, what that do, it lets us know that we are not in as much control as we think. Trust God, because trusting God is saying you know that God really knows best. And until you can understand it, you'll never be able to enjoy it. No matter what come my way, y'all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, many times it's been horrible situations. But you know what I say and have said? All right, God, I trust you and it is well. And I keep saying, God, it is well. And one day I wake up and everything that seemed to be the worst thing in the world happened in my life is somehow walked away. If all y'all think of the worst thing that ever happened in your life, and if that too did pass, that's what I'm talking about. God has already determined our time here on earth. So don't get it twisted, y'all. Yes, people die in all kind of ways, but their day was their day. And because of the circumstances in the world and the evenness of the people, God allowed the situation to be the point of their death. Not that he orchestrated it that way, but they had to check out. And he allowed it to be with some of these mishaps and circumstances. Because when our time is up, we got to go. You know, look around. And I can give you a scripture in the Bible that should hold you for the rest of your life to tell you how you could have success here on this earth. We are on this earth. We are in this earth, but we are not of this earth. But God has given us everything necessary to live a righteous life and to be all right in this world in the midst of the evil. Because Matthew 6 and 33 and 34 said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. You know, that is a much quoted scripture. But if you go to the next part, it gets even more interesting because it say, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts of the things of itself. You know, stop worrying about what's going to happen because they're going to come. Your problem's going to come and go. Just because you love the Lord don't mean he promised you a rose garden. But it's not what we go through. It's where God is bringing us to. And it's never what we go through, but it's who we go through it with. But it's saying, take no thoughts of tomorrow going to have the thoughts of the things itself. But it comes on to say, sufficient unto the day is evil, therefore. And it goes on to say, we will have our own problems. And tomorrow, new problems, new devils, new evil. You know, last month we didn't have Russia bombing up the Ukraine. One day it wasn't and one day it was. That's what he's talking about, new evils in the day. We went to sleep one night and was fearful about the COVID-19. And we woke up one day and we realized they had a Delta virus. You see, the next day going to produce its evils of his own. Hallelujah, y'all. But I want to tell you, be blessed in your today. And if you learn to run your race by taking care of God's business, God will take care of your business. You see, all of us are appointed to die. We got to just understand that. That could help us in this journey, in this thing called life. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know why. You see, sin entered the world in the perfect Garden of Eden. Man died the physical death, and he had to die to receive eternal life. You know, it is often said, everyone want to go to heaven, but no one is ready to die. And the scripture uses the word vapor to explain the time and how much it's, you know, represents. You see, a vapor is defined in the Webster Dictionary as something that is short-lived. James said his life is only a vapor. So if we put the definition in, we could read that scripture from now on and say, this life is only short-lived. You see, God's time is not equated as our time. No matter how long we live, it is enough. You know, if I could interject this with my grandson, I had a grandson that was killed in a car accident at age 4. And I can remember walking in the hospital, and they wouldn't come out and say, you know, how he was or anything like that. So I can remember walking back and forth and speaking to God and praying. And it came out of my mouth, you know, in my thanking God. I say, God, thank you for my 4 years. And God, I realized it was enough. And after I spoke those words, everything got brighter. Things got lighter. And I understood, because I was so elated with God for those 4 years. And the thing, and it's back to what we're saying tonight. You see, those 4 years, I was truly what I was supposed to be doing in his life and for him and with them. You see, so many times people have broken relationships, and when somebody dies, you know, they feel like they didn't have enough time. Come on now. Time is in your hand. What you do with it is up to you. But I understood it was enough. And ever since that day, and it's been over 20-something years, I understand that God is a God of enoughness. So even when I think about me and my life, you know, if I die tomorrow, I know it's enough. God doesn't do anything prematurely. And the days that he has given us is enough for his glory. Or he realized he can't get any glory from him. I don't know. And I don't want you to be deceived into thinking that you have a lot of time remaining to live for Christ. Enough time to enjoy your loved ones. Or enough time to mend those broken relationships. Or to do what you know you should do. That you don't. We got to live for God today. The song said, run the race until you finish. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. If you understand God's plan for your life, no matter when your life ends, you would have fulfilled God's plan for your life. And your living will not be in vain. Hallelujah. And you got to remember, only what we do for Christ is going to last. And everything is not for everybody. But what God has for you is for you. And what God has for you to do is for you to do. God don't make no mistakes, y'all. I've seen people get angry with God and try their best to turn their back on God because, you know, maybe their grandmother died. And I must give y'all this little plug-in. The grandma may have been 98 years old. You see, we are selfish by nature. They just wanted more time with their grandmother. not taking time to thank God for 98 years. And I praised him for my 4. I thank God. And that has happened many times. And we're not afforded the privilege of speaking as if we have the power to control our lives. That's our mistake, y'all, if we're doing it. Remember, we should say if it's God's will. The scripture also talking about boasting and letting us know that is evil. Because you see, whenever you fix your mouth to boast, you're saying you, I, myself, I did it all. I'm self-made. No one created themselves. God, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells therein. Don't ever get it twisted. And I know how people say that because there was one time in my life that I would sit down and think that I was a self-made woman. And many times when you think that of yourself, it's because of your surrounding. You might not have the support at home that you have to do, but you constantly find a way to make things happen. And that's how you could get in that little thing. And I guess Satan tricks your mind to say, you know, I did it all. You know, like some people say, I want to thank my mother and my father because they encouraged me and they helped me. When you don't have those kind of things, that sometimes you think you did it on your own. But it's all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. Everything is about God's grace. The fact that I was able to maneuver in the world was because of God. God cannot be left out of anything. And the trick of the devil is sometimes saying, making the scene to say, if my mother would have did this, I would have been maybe better. If you cannot go forward by keep looking back, I just threw that in tonight. You got to really let go and let God. God promised never to leave you. He didn't say he would just stay with you if your mom or your daddy did everything right. God loves you. He knew what your mama was going to do and wasn't going to do. But watch this. We didn't get to pick our parents. So if God knew what your mother wouldn't do, he provided provision for you to get what you need. Come on, y'all. And why we can't just be grateful for that? Because after Adam and Eve was in the garden and God came to question them, that's where the blame game came in. Now, you might have information that is true, and you might be not lying about the situation, but still you do not realize when you say that, you are placing some level of blame on someone else. You know, God has something for all of us to do. And we should learn to plan accordingly. Some people never read or study the Bible, and they don't understand the will of God for their lives. They may think the way that they do things is okay, but that's their perception. It has become their reality. But it may not line up with the word of God, which is the truth. So this is telling us all reality is not true. Your reality is good for you. Now, if your reality can fit the reality of the world or whatever, then it's a good thing. But some people have formulated and made realities in their mind that has become their perception. Well, their perceptions have become their realities, and they think they got it right. But some people you could talk to, you know they're so screwed up. Y'all know that. But it's their reality, and it's good only for them. But But the word of God is what furnishes us with truth. You see, we tend to think that only doing wrong is a sin. But James lets us know that sin is also not doing what you're supposed to. You see, and if we go with verses 4, the 15 and the 16 and the 17, they say, for that we ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we should live and do this and that. But now you rejoice in boasting. We talked about boasting. And all such rejoicing in yourself is evil. And the last verse say, dare to him that know to do good and do it not is sin. And that's what I was talking about right now. You see, James lets us know that sin is also not doing that which is right. You see, these two kinds of sin are sometimes called the sin of commission, which is the act of doing a wrong act. But there's also a sin of omission, which is to know to do good and don't do it. Come on, y'all. It is a sin to lie, but it's also a sin to know the truth and not tell it in some cases. Well, I guess all cases, but some cases it's more important than others, have made up in their mind that they are not ready to follow Christ all the way. I've heard people say that I'm not ready because being a Christian is too hard. Being a Christian, you can't have fun. Being a Christian, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. So they don't want to hear what he's saying about some subjects that they may not be ready to give up. They believe that if they don't know, then they can't be held accountable. Some people will not go to hell for what they did, but some will lift up their eyes in hell for what they didn't do. So you might say, well, Sister Diane, what you talking about? I know a lot of good people, and some of them act better than Christians. But if they never accepted Christ as their Savior, then they won't have eternal life. So they won't go to hell for their acts, but they will go to hell for not acting on what God offered them. The gift of salvation. Hallelujah. And I'll use this scripture in 2 Peter 2:21. It says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn from the holy command delivered to them. You see, we as Christians must take our rightful place. There are many things that we could do that are just the right things to do, yet we turn our back on them. You know, I can't hear you guys even if you're talking right now, saying amen or anything, but I would just like, you know, to think of some things that maybe, you know, this is so true, you know? There's many things that we could do, but we look the other way. Someone may be in need and you could help them, but you don't. I come to tell you tonight, that's a sin. And God didn't ask you to help everybody. And early I told you that the things, the service God wants you to serve, God is the one that makes the opportunity for you to do it, and he has put enough in you to respond. So I'm not telling you everything and everybody, and and this and that and this is not. It's not for everybody. But God do have opportunities for you that you may overlook. Hallelujah. Someone may be in need, as I said, and you could help them, but you don't. And that's a sin. We have to remember that we are only stewards. Everything we have, everything we know, it belongs to God. We are renting, and we are renters. I heard someone say that when we do what we're supposed to do in service for God, we're paying our rent on this earth. The earth is the Lord. God is the landlord. We pay our rent in service. Hallelujah. We are stewards. And to whom much is given, much is required. You see, someone could just need a word of encouragement. No money. You know, they don't need a ride to the bank. They don't need you to bring them in the maid groceries. They just need a word of encouragement. And you could give it, but you don't. And say, I don't have time. And that's a sin. Many times I've heard people saying this, and they the biggest Christians I know, big-time Christians, big-time people who want to have the name of reverend and doctor and all of these things, and they, you know, really believe they got it going on. Many times I've heard them say, I don't want to get involved. Or I don't like all of that holy stuff, and it's not necessary. It don't take all of that. God don't need all of that. God don't want all of that. You know what God wants. You don't read the word of God. Someone may just need to hear a word about your God. And you know it. But you don't share it. And that's a sin. You see, God is to give us every opportunity given to us to serve. And you are already, you have already received the strength. Come on now. There's no fear, because God's not a God of fear. And the provisions to accomplish it. See, that's why no excuse is going to stand up. These excuses we make in our mind daily about the things of God, they're not going to hold up. Because God know he done did what's necessary. God has provided everything you'll ever need. He's providing your needs and all of your needs and your wants. God is doing that, has been doing it, and promised to continue to do it. God does his part. And the Holy Ghost is constantly doing his job of God in us and the things of God. We should be willing to help others as the Holy Ghost leads us. Don't allow the trick of devil to fool you into thinking all that is not necessary or that it's someone else's responsibility. That's another thing that gets me. That's almost like the little engine that could. Everybody could do it, but nobody is willing to do it. And they're really waiting for someone else to do it. God wants us to use ourselves for his will and his glory. And that's why we were created in the first place. The glory by becoming a living sacrifice. God sacrificed his son for you. You can't sacrifice your service for him. God is waiting to see you work your faith the same writer, James, said, faith without works is dead. We know that works can't save us. So don't want you to get it twisted. But once you are saved, you should want to work. And if I could see your faith, come on now. People confess great faith. If I could see your faith, I should be able to see your works. This life is not as long as it seems. The scripture tonight told us it's only a vapor in the eyes of God. He has given each one of us enough time to accomplish our purpose for his glory. Tonight I encourage us, make every day count, that your living will not be in vain. We begin life with our date of birth and end life with our date of death. And there is a dash in the middle. And tonight I ask, what will your dad say about you? And that's our program for tonight. Anyone would like to make comments, questions, or concern, or elaborate on what's said, add something to it, make any corrections, God is affording the opportunity. That's why he gave us this forum. Because I have seen in the past that someone press the one button and make a statement, and someone on a line get revelation and illumination. Because God uses all of us. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Well, if that's it for tonight, would anyone like to do a benediction? Well, since I think it must be appropriate for all seasons and everything a benediction, just the benediction that Peter left with us. In 2 Peter 3 and 18, Peter asks that we grow in the grace that God has given us and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. That's a beautiful benediction. Peter gave that benediction, and he knew he was fixing to be crucified because Peter was martyred. And that was the last writing he did, and he left it for us by the power of God, the inspiration of God. It was placed in the book of 2 Peter at the end for us today. So I encourage each and every one of you, my sisters and brothers, to just grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's our program for tonight. Everybody be blessed, go in peace, and I pray that each and every one of us would have a great night's sleep. God's will, he'll wake us up in the morning, and he'll place our feet on solid ground. He'll give us more than a portion of health and strength, and he will carry us through the day. Everybody be blessed. Good night.